T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Good morning. Welcoming in Sal Capaccio here on a Football Friday. This hour is brought to you by UBMD Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. For urgent orthopedic care, visit uborthocare.com. Also, it is Football Friday, and that is brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills, and by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans 2019 Pro Football Pick'em. Get the injury update in about 25 minutes. Also news about sports betting coming to the area soon.
Yeah.
Before the end of the year.
I didn't read the whole, I just kind of saw it come across. You probably know more than I do about the whole story here.
A little bit, yeah. It's I'm reading the story, and it's about Seneca Gaming and Bragg Gaming Group. They are going to be bringing sports betting to the area. All three casinos will use on-property sports wagering solutions, betting kiosks, fully configurable digital signage, free-to-play sportsbook product, and a bring-your-own-device technology, which enables bettors to view lines and build bets on mobile for quick and easy placement at the property. And then Seneca Resorts and Casinos have partnered already with the Bills, and this release says they'll begin the rollout of on-property sportsbooks imminently. And I know one of the big issues was whether or not they'll have them at arenas, because the way the law was written initially, some sports arenas were allowed to have them and some weren't, based on the specific language of how they were written. Like MSG was allowed to, and a couple other and other places weren't. And of course, you know, you own a sports team, you're going to say, "Yeah, I'm going to want that at my property too. Why wouldn't I want that?" So get ready for sports wagering live and in person at sporting events, which is, you know, before we get back into Football Friday, Sal, it is amazing how many things over time we can't have, and then we just never mind. You can have
it. You can have it.
All the way down to college athletes can't be paid. It would ruin everything. All right, fine.
It seems like it's been talked about. It's taking a long time, and then suddenly, boom.
Yep.
It hits and swings.
They pass a law. It's like, all right, now, fine. If you want to make money off your signature, yeah, you can do that. After forever hearing it would corrupt the entire process.
Right.
They had to give in because, I mean, laws got passed in states where they're going to want those teams to continue to fund the NCAA. Anyway, happy Football Friday. 803-0550 is our phone number.
It's a weird day. It's a Football Friday and a Sabres afternoon game day.
I know. Double, yeah, right. 2 o'clock game against Tampa Bay today.
Uh-huh.
They're back for today and tomorrow, and that's great.
Are both games at the same time? 2 p.m. today, 2 p.m. tomorrow?
Tomorrow is 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, the question, the Twitter poll is, mm-hmm. Do you care what the wins look like for the Buffalo Bills?
So I woke up, I checked your Twitter, I checked your poll. I said, what is Jeremy talking about when I get in there this morning? I saw the poll and I said, okay, what do I think about this? How do I want to answer this? So here's where I come down, Jeremy. Of course it matters to people how they play. Of course it does.
As it should.
It always should matter, right? But there are nuances and caveats to that. Number one is, I think it matters more how you play against certain teams. If you don't play well against the Patriots but win, I don't think anybody really cares that much.
Fair.
Right?
But right.
If you don't play well against the Redskins or the Bengals and win, you're like, I didn't play very well. Whatever. Okay? It makes you feel a certain way about them. That's why you care. It makes you feel more confident, or that you can feel better about getting invested in them. It makes you kind of not be scared to jump in and be all in if they're playing a certain way. And if they're not, then you're like, I don't know really kind of what I want to do with this. But I think even saying all that, which, yes, it should matter, it does matter. Even saying all that, it truly doesn't actually matter at the end of the day, according to the NFL, and,
right.
and if they win or lose. So you're just you're sitting there with a whatever amount of wins. It's only emotional. That's the only reason you really care how they play is emotionally how you feel about them and going forward. I mean, I'll give you an example. The Kansas City Chiefs, right? They don't have a great record. They're okay. What are they, 5-3 right now? Right? Look at the standings here. Here we go. Kansas City Chiefs are 6-3. They're 6-3. But they lost Patrick Mahomes, and I bet because of the way they've played the last year or so, people in Kansas City are like, yeah, we're all right. Like, we're going to get Patrick Mahomes back, and we're
right.
okay. Like,
yeah.
we 6-3 is fine to us right now.
It's similar to the Saints. They lose Drew Brees, and Teddy Bridgewater goes in, and they win all those games. And if you hear people talking about the Saints, what do they say when they win without Drew Brees? They think, wow, that team's even better than
yep.
I thought. You can put your backup quarterback in and still win. You're better than I thought. If the Bills win without Josh Allen in, I think you'll probably think the offensive coordinator is, wow, did a good job with Matt Barkley, which Matt Barkley did a nice job in a game last year. So, yeah, I mean, I of course you should care what they look like, because the whole idea, until you can actually play the games, like, you know, the whole that's why they play the games,
yeah.
until they play the games, the whole exercise is, do I think they're going to win that game? You
right.
know, and you base that on what they look like. And to me, that's what makes this game.
That's why we bet.
Right, it is why we bet. That's what makes this game really interesting, is because they're underdogs, and some are shocked by it, and some are not surprised. Like, well, you know, you haven't beaten anybody too impressive, and you haven't looked dominant, and it's a road game. So go to Cleveland, get a win, prove to everybody you're better than the Browns.
Well, I think Cleveland is a very good example for this point, which is people in Cleveland still, I think their team has talent, right? I mean, but at the same time, you would not want to trade places with them. They are 2-6. You're 6-2. And you're like, yep, we're 6-2. And even though the wins haven't been the way I wanted them necessarily, they may be quote unquote ugly in certain ways. It's still 6-2. And you know what? They may have Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and a quarterback that broke the rookie record last year for touchdown passes. Yeah, but they're 2-6. So I really don't want to be in that spot. So yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, the record is the record. You are what your record says you are, and the standings are the standings, and that's how you get to the playoffs. But certainly, you're watching the games, you're thinking about your team, and emotionally, you'd love for them to play great every game. How they play matters to you, and how you want to think about them, emotionally invest in them, financially invest in them, if you want to go to games, all those kinds of things matter, and that is why we kind of pay attention the way we do in sports. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say it matters how they play. But I'll be the first to tell you, it doesn't matter at the end of the day if they win or lose according to who makes the playoffs, and that's the ultimate goal. And I'm sure they want to play. By the way, the team wants to play well. They want to
right.
play. They want to dominate if they can. But they're also, as Micah Hyde said, not going to apologize for any wins. Like, if you get to the end of the scoreboard and you're winning, that's what matters to everybody.
As it should. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. So this matchup, this Bills-Browns matchup, one thing I looked at, Sal, I brought this up earlier in the show, and if you want to give us a call on how they've looked, how it matters to you, please do. I love the conversation. So the stat I had was that Kyler Murray has 9 touchdowns this year. All 9 are at home.
Mm.
Right? Which
passes, all passes?
Yeah, all passing touchdowns.
Gotcha.
All 9 passing touchdowns are at home. Josh Allen has 10 touchdowns this year. 6 at home, 4 on the road. He's played 5 games at home and 3 games on the road. I was looking at Allen to see if he's a different quarterback, home versus road.
Mm-hmm.
And at least, I didn't even want to throw in last year because rookie year. Just this year. He's a starter. He's played half a season. There's not really much of a difference. He has more touchdowns at home, but it's more games. He has more yards at home, but it's more games. You know, 5 games versus 3 games. His quarterback rating is actually better on the road. The road games this year being the Giants, the Jets, and the Titans,
right?
His yards per game at home is 185. On the road is 242. Rushing the ball, he runs it about the same. Runs it maybe more on the road. We're only 3 road games into the season, so maybe the sample size is a little bit small, but I don't get the sense that you get too much of a different quarterback when you take him on the road, right? You can, not to say that this is going to plague Kyler Murray for his career, but it was something that became a thing for Ben Roethlisberger. For a good 2.5 years, road Roethlisberger was a different quarterback. And that's something in terms of development, as we look at all the things that Allen's developing, being a good road quarterback and being good on the road, not just managing the game, but just, you know, winning and looking the part on the road is a part of his progression.
He actually, I would say, has the per game stats are actually trending better on the road for Josh Allen than they are at home in some ways. Now he has, like you said, he's played more games at home. I mean, the completion percentage at home is 56. On the road, it's 66. 10% different. He has 6-4 TD interception, 4-3 on the road. 89, as you said, 89 quarterback rating versus 78. Been sacked a few more times, but he's also played a few more games. Yards per attempt, Jeremy, almost a full yard more on the road than it is at home. 7.33 versus 6.44. Yards per game. How about this? 242 against 185. 242 on the road, 185 at home. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I think that, you know, playing, staying level, staying kind of who you are, playing well on the road, whether you want to debate if he's played well, I think that would be the question. Well, those aren't great stats, you could say. I agree. To me, it'd be more important to stay consistent home and road, not be a different quarterback completely.
Sure, sure. And this week, you know, the Browns, if you look at their defense, Sal, they have – how many players are you worried about? Vernon might not play, right? So
right.
Looks like he won't play. He didn't practice yesterday.
He's trending in the wrong way. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
they'll wait. I mean, if he can play by Sunday, he'll play. He's important for them.
You'd worry about Myles Garrett. You'd worry about Denzel Ward. And who else? Are you done or you got any more?
On their defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
the story of that team is supposed to be their offense with a respect.
Greedy Williams, I don't know if you want to.
The story of the Browns is supposed to be their offense is good and is good to great, right? There were expectations about the Browns offense being good to great.
Right.
And the defense would be good enough because they've got a couple of playmakers. If you've got a stud corner and a stud pass rusher, that should create opportunities for you. And their defense has been pretty much as bad as their offense this year. Maybe losing Greg Williams. I mean, Greg Williams, he bounces around this league, and he has some success and keeps, for whatever reason, he never sticks anywhere, right?
Well,
I think
his personality wears out its welcome,
yeah.
And that's really what happens.
He's everywhere. He bounces around all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think what happens is he's been in this league so long, and he has had some success, but more than anything, I think coaches see, okay, like, if I hire that guy, he'll take care of the defense. I don't have to really worry too much. Like, he's got the kind of personality he's going to take charge. But that also can rub you the wrong way as you go through a season and you start to lose. And you might think he'll give you a shot in the arm. He's going to be aggressive or whatever. But again, suddenly you get in rooms, you start to lose games. That becomes a bit of an issue with egos and personalities involved.
803-0550. We'll get to Nick real quick. Nick, good morning. You're on WGR.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing
good,
great,
thanks.
Nick.
I just wanted to comment on the Bills' season so far, and I'm actually, like, regardless of who they beat, I'm happy they beat who they were supposed to beat. So many years I've been watching the Bills, and they haven't won those games they were supposed to. It's not been that good. This year they've won the games they were supposed to, and I hope that continues.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, Nick. I don't know how many times they actually had games they were, quote-unquote, supposed to win over those years because they weren't that good.
Last year,
I mean, they may have played poor teams, but they were also poor, and I don't think many people expected them to win games.
And especially last year. Last year they had six games without Josh Allen. They had a stretch with Derek Anderson where they didn't score an offensive touchdown through the air. You know, I don't know how many games you were supposed to win in that year. I guess your point here, Sal, is it's been rare that they've been supposed to win this many. But it's not incorrect, Nick. I mean, it's fine. Are they supposed to win this one?
No. It's interesting because it's not favored to win. They've never been favored to win, even during the offseason when the schedule came out. It was going to be an interesting game. And even if they lose, I'm not going to look too poorly on it personally because it's going to be a tough game.
Well, I think that's where it comes into what Jeremy's talking about. I think, Nick, it would depend on how they lose. It would be depend on how they look. If they get blown out, I think you might view them differently than if it's a back-and-forth 24-23 game and Josh Allen throws, you know, for 300 yards. I don't know. But I think it does matter in that sense what Jeremy's talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I'll agree to that. As long as it's a good game throughout, even into the fourth quarter, if they lose, it's okay. The only way I come away with this game thinking any differently of the Buffalo Bills is if they get blown out.
But even then, thanks to the call, Nick, we went through this. In their playoff year, when they go 9-7, they get to the playoffs, in McDermott's first year. They lost three straight games by a combined 80 points. They got blown out three times. Maybe the Jets game wasn't a blowout, but the Saints blew them out. The Chargers blew them out, and they bounced back and they won. So, you know, it's funny, like, talking about a game before it happens and talking about your expectations. If they win, it's gonna feel great no matter what. I'm not telling you if they win ugly, we're going to come in and say, yeah, but. It's going to be 7-2. It's going to be a road win, and you're cruising at that point. It would look like you're cruising to the postseason. A loss, you know, depending on how it looks, if it's a close loss, if they get a couple bad calls along the way, if they have some clumsy turnovers, you know, the people that make the mistakes will, of course, take accountability, try to be better, and move on. And they'll still be very much alive and still control their own destiny to make the playoffs with seven games left. So one thing I worry about, Sal, is this game, if they were to lose it, that it gives a little bit of an identity crisis. You know what I mean? I'm one that says I don't think the Browns are as bad as they say they are, as people seem to be saying they are. I don't think they're as bad. They should be better. And they are a dangerous candidate to knock off any team. Mm-hmm. They did beat the Ravens. And the Ravens we all now accept as good. So if they can beat the Ravens, to me it says they can beat probably anybody, maybe not every Sunday, but they could beat the Ravens. Or I'm sorry, they could beat the Bills, and then if they rattle off however many wins and finish 9-7, is that no longer a bad loss, you know?
Right.
Your wins and losses change. When the Bills beat the Jets, I thought, that's a great win. Now I look at the Jets and say, well, you know, it's the Jets.
Right. No, it totally depends on how you view that team going forward. And again, that gets us back to earlier in the week, the discussion of anybody who keeps telling you how, well, they're not that good, I'm unimpressed, they're going to have their way this week, because there's no win for anybody to counter that. Because what's either going to happen is the Bills are going to lose to a 2-6 team, and those people are going to say, I told you so, they're not that good. Or they're going to beat a 2-6 team, and those people are going to say, see, they're still winning against the cream puffs. I mean, there's nothing you can do in that situation. I do want to go back to what the caller said, Nick, about in years past. And Nick, you know, he represents a lot of people when he says this. He says, in years past, the Bills have not won the games they were supposed to win. And I said, well, how many games really is that? Jeremy, last year they were only favored three times. There's not many games they're supposed to win. And by the way, they won two of them. They beat Miami. They beat Detroit. The year before that, 2017, they started to get favored as the year went on a little bit. And let's see. They were favored at the Jets and lost, but then beat the Jets when they were favored, beat Tampa when they were favored, beat Oakland when they were favored, and beat, who else? Indy when they were favored in the snow game. Now, they might not have covered, but they won these games. So there haven't been a lot of instances. But it's really not true to say the Bills traditionally have lost the games they were supposed to win, because A, there's not many games like that, and B, actually, if you go back and look, when they're favored, they've actually done okay. They've done pretty well over the last several years.
803-0550. Next up to Rich on Football Friday. Rich, good morning.
Morning, Jeremy. How are you? Listening to the conversation about statistics and whether Josh is better on the road or at home, you have to take in consideration that in the past 2 weeks he's played in miniature hurricanes, and that's where statistics are a little bit misleading. My question to you is this. Do you think Josh would be a better passer in a dome stadium?
I think the Bills drafted him in part because he could play in these conditions.
I think anybody would be a better passer in a dome stadium. Yes, I think any quarterback at any level would be better in a dome than in outdoor elements.
Right, right. That's, you know, if you want to go down this line of thinking, for me, the whole point of drafting him was that he could win in these conditions. I don't want to hear about the conditions.
And they've told us that.
Right,
that's right.
Now, I will agree that it's harder to pass when it's windy. That's true of everybody.
That's right.
The Bills drafted Allen in part, at least from what they say, because of hand size, arm strength. Last week was not a mini hurricane.
It was pretty windy, but it wasn't.
Pretty windy, but it was not a mini hurricane.
No, no. The week before that was a lot worse.
The week before was a lot worse. I don't know how many. Are we going to, if it snows, are we going to say it doesn't count? I mean, I get it. I'm kind of torn on it, because I would defend any quarterback not playing as well in conditions like they played in when the Eagles were here. But Washington, you know, the whole idea was he's perfect for this. Okay. Then I can't listen to he can't handle it because it's too windy. You know, you kind of can't have both. So I guess if I can say I know and agree a little bit, but I don't want to because it wasn't supposed to be like that.
And both quarterbacks have to play in it, and I'll say Carson Wentz was pretty good in those conditions.
Yeah.
17 of 24, 172, and a touchdown.
There's a lot of numbers on this and funky graphs and data. And in terms of weather and conditions and yada yada, as you might expect, the thing that affects a quarterback's ability to throw most is not cold, it's not precipitation, it's wind. I mean, obviously,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
the ball's in the air. And you see that happens for everybody.
I do think, like, you can point to specific plays, like the John Brown play, far sideline, where some people wanted to pass interference, the DB kind of grabbed his legs as he went up. That ball was, it moved because of the wind. It was on track to go to John Brown, and it kind of moved to his left. DB grabbed him, but I think that is an example of how definitely the wind can play a factor in statistics.
Let's go to Don next. Don, good morning. You're on WGR.
Sal, Jeremy, good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. So I'm listening to the callers today, and I saw the Twitter poll. A win's a win in the NFL. That's my point. I mean, it's the NFL for a reason. 6-2 is huge right now for this team. I mean, I don't care. I mean, a win is a win. And is it ugly? It doesn't matter. You still have to win to make the playoffs, bottom line. And we're not peaking right now, which is a good thing. To peak for this team, I think it has to be later in the season and right before the playoffs. So I'm just so sick and tired of the fans whining. We're 6-2. We haven't, you know, in 17 years we've been what? You know, how many wins have we had? We're 6-2, and they're still complaining. It's a no-win situation. Sal, I heard your point, too. If we win, it's a crappy team. We lose, told you so.
Yes.
You're 100.
That's the spot. I'm doing the show on Monday morning, 10 to 12, and I'm telling you that's what it's going to be.
That's only true of playing crappy teams, though.
Yeah, but it's the NFL. These guys are getting paid.
It's not, but Don, if they beat New England, you're going to treat it differently than if they beat Miami, right?
Well, correct, yeah, of course. I mean, you look at the Baltimore win against New England. That was a perfect setup for Baltimore. Off the bye week, home, Sunday night football. I mean, we
agreed
a mulligan like that. I put it on Facebook the other
day. I mean,
people are like, oh, you're right.
Well, but I'll say this, Don. But Jeremy just said, if you beat New England, you'll feel different than if you beat Miami. Don, I think also this is where it comes into play, where you do kind of care how they beat Miami. You don't care how they beat New England. If you beat New England 17-16 because of turnovers that were ugly,
win's a win.
Who cares? But if you beat Miami that way, I do think you feel a little bit dirty, if you will. You know what I mean?
That said, I mean, we remember 31-0 is one of the greatest games in Bills history.
Yes.
And it wasn't because a win's a win. It was because
they
shut out the Patriots and dominated, and it was a party.
There's a little nuance there, Don. I agree.
Sure.
At the end of the day, we all agree with you, though. You win the games, you get to the playoffs. This isn't college football. Nobody's in a room deciding who makes the playoffs or not. You know what I mean?
But that said, I don't want to use the term whining. I don't think it's whining. I think it's people talking about the team, which is, you know, standard. That's what we do.
Yeah, I mean,
And by the way, there are soft wins in the NFL. I mean,
but they don't count any different.
They don't count any different.
They don't.
But
that's Don's point. Like, right? I mean, like,
that's right.
They don't count any different. If someone just dropped you in here, like, I know nothing about soccer, like you watch, right?
Sure.
Premier League, whatever. I don't follow any of that. You could tell me team names. I'll, like, okay, I know who that is.
For instance, Liverpool Man City is Sunday at 11:30.
I have no idea their records, nothing.
That is not the same as if Liverpool plays Fulham. It's not the same. The win is not the same.
Okay, but that's right. But here's the point, Jeremy. If you showed me right now, I don't know, do they have standings, right? Do they have standings?
Yes, okay. They do.
If you showed me standings, I don't know, who's in first place?
Liverpool.
Okay, what's their record? Do you know? Like, what would they give me a... Okay, and then who's in... Give me a team that's in last place.
Actually, there's a key difference here. I think I know the point you're going to make.
Right, I have no idea. My point is...
You don't know who they've beaten?
And I would look at you and go, oh, they must be really good.
Well,
because they're going to... They have all these wins. That's what matters in
sports.
There's
one difference. There's one major difference. Everybody plays the same schedule. You play everybody twice.
Mm-hmm.
Done. There's no, well, you've... Look at you're getting a gift here. You get Washington and the Giants and the Jets. If a EPL team played the teams that were 2019, 18, 17, and 15, you would point that out.
But they don't play the same schedule up to a certain point. I mean, like,
no,
through seven games, they wouldn't have played the same schedule.
But eventually they do. The point is, and there's also no playoffs, so, you know, you've got to finish in first.
That's right.
But the point is, you never have a year where, like, at the end of this year, you could say about the Bills, Well, you know, they don't have any really impressive wins. Over there, you played everybody. You got the most wins. You got the most points. It doesn't matter which of the teams that you beat. You just have to finish with the most points. So even there, you could lose to the good teams. If you beat enough of the bad teams and the other teams lose to the bad teams somehow. Yeah. I don't know. We're all over the place. Hey,
yeah, I know.
You should watch Liverpool Man City. It's going to be a hell of a game.
Well, I get it. I get it. But the wins and looking at the standings are ultimately all that matters. But I think emotionally, to go circle back here, we all care if they're dominating or not because we want to feel good about our team. We want to feel that going into the game, going into the week, oh yeah, like, oh yeah, we're going to roll. Like, this is really cool. I lived through that with the 90s Bills, Jeremy. That was my high school and college years.
Was getting mad about ugly wins?
Well, no, just knowing every week, they're going to win. I mean, whatever. Now, they lost a couple games they shouldn't. But every week it was like, yeah, who are we playing this week? Buffalo. All right, they're going to win. Like, they're going to dominate. You just knew. You had Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed and Bruce Smith. And every game they went out and there kind of was no question. Now, they made it a little closer than you wanted sometimes. But you felt good every week going into the week that, yeah, who they got this week? Okay, they're going to win. Like, I lived through that. That is a great way to live and think about your team. There's no doubt about that.
803-0550. Injury report on the way. Sal's going to give us the latest on everybody that's hurt. It's not that many people.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When you look at strength of schedule, they played the most difficult schedule of any team in the NFL. You look at the games against the two teams that were in the Super Bowl last year, the Patriots, after they were gifted 17 points, and I mean gifted 17 points, the Browns outscored them from that point. So they were their own worst enemy in that game between 13 penalties and the 3 critical giveaways on 3 straight plays. And the game with the Rams, they had the Rams in a situation where they have first and goal from the 2-yard line. They can't score a game-tying touchdown.
That's Jay Crawford from, tell me one more time, KYCE.
That's the Jay Crawford that used to be
cold pizza kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Him.
All right. Hey, Jay, what's up?
Yeah, I know, right? That's what he's doing now.
Jeremy White, Sal Capaccio. It is Football Friday. Time to get the injury update, the injury report brought to you by Univera Healthcare. Compare because you care at univerabusiness.com. We'll talk to Murph in an hour. We'll get to Sean McDermott coming up as well. We'll get you the construction of the game plan, some fantasy value picks. All that good stuff. So injury report, Sal, what have we got?
All right, so this is the lightest injury report you may ever see from a team 9 weeks into an NFL season. Now, they're not completely, when we say the Bills are completely healthy, that means on their active roster they're completely healthy. They do have players on injured reserve. They just put one on this week in Maurice Alexander. However, the players in injured reserve, there's not like these huge names coming into the year that you're like, oh my gosh, you know, that's someone to, it's hugely notable. But they do have players on injured reserve. However, of all the active guys, the guys that are banged up, bumps and bruises, Jeremy, 0 players. 0 listed as anything other than basically full participants. The only one that wasn't yesterday was Frank Gore. He was resting, so he is. Kurt Coleman was limited with a hamstring on Wednesday, full yesterday. And Kevin Johnson was limited on Wednesday with a knee, full yesterday. This is unbelievable. I don't know. I mean, it's incredible.
You want to knock on some wood?
And, yeah, no kidding. And there you go. I do really believe a big reason for this is what they've done with the new training facility, the $18 million facility. I wrote about it. I tweeted about it. Go see it, WGR550.com. How they are staying ahead of the game as much as they can in advances in technology, in recovery therapy, prevention therapy, all those kinds of things I do believe in. But it's not just that. You have to still be on the same page, as Sean McDermott said, and I agree, with the medical staff, the developmental staff, the coaching staff, everybody kind of knowing how to navigate through that, and the players. But there's also luck involved. There's nothing you can do sometimes about certain injuries. Guys get hit certain ways, and they've avoided those as well. So a lot goes into it, but I do not discount what they've done. That's why they built the facility they built, exactly for this reason, to maintain and stay as healthy as possible throughout a season in which a league is really much about attrition.
803-0550. Sabres play today at 2 o'clock. Sabres and Lightning, well, afternoon hockey from Sweden and the Ericsson Globe. And UB basketball home tonight for their home opener. They're going to be raising a banner. Maybe they will drop a banner. You could raise it from the floor. You could just drop it from the top. Sometimes you drop it from the top and they still say you raised a banner. Anyway, UB's home tonight. 803-0550. Taking your phone calls on whether or not you care what the Bills look like in their wins and losses. Let's toss out that out there too. Do you care about how wins and losses look? To which I think the answer should be, of course, yes. You're not kicking wins out of town, but yeah. So you can call us on that at 803-0550. The Browns, it's been a quiet week from them, right? Since their loss? For a team that is supposed to be...
From their players, but there's a lot...
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but
you know
what?
It's been quiet from them.
Yeah, but... there's a lot going on behind the scenes with all the Odell stuff and getting them the ball. Lots of noise being made. There was an article written the other day about if this bleeds into next year, he could be traded again.
I saw that article. Baker Mayfield. That other teams think he could be traded.
Well, I think, okay, I'm not going to say conspiracy theorist here, okay? But I've been in this business long enough, Jeremy, to know how things work. As from a reporter's side, this is not something I would have necessarily picked up on or told you about years ago, but I will tell you, I think what's going on here is Odell and his agent are upset that he's not getting the ball, and I think his agent is kind of making it known out there that if things continue to go this way, we may want out.
Yeah,
I think that's what's going on, and it's now becoming to the point. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to come out and say something. I think this is his way of... told his agent, they want to put some feelers out. They want people to know he's unhappy. Start getting him the ball. If he doesn't get the ball, we're going to start looking for elsewhere and other things. But he doesn't want to be that guy in the distraction. Do you remember when Sammy Watkins said, I went to my agent and told him, hey, we got to do something. Talk to people. Something like that in Buffalo. I think that's just what's happening here in Cleveland.
Well, they're talking about forcing the ball to Beckham a bit more.
Right.
Which I've heard a little bit of. I think that's good for the Bills. I don't think that's good necessarily for the Bills. He's one of the best receivers in football. Forcing it to him would entail getting it to him the normal amount that he probably should get the ball, because he's not getting it enough. So I think all it means is you've got to make a point to get him the ball. I think about this the way that on a different level, what do Bills fans want? More Singletary, right? Why? Well, because he looks really good. Let's make sure Devin Singletary gets the ball more, whether it's in the passing game or in the run game. But Singletary needs the ball more. To me, that's what Beckham is here.
Yes,
like he needs
no doubt.
He needs the ball more,
especially in the red zone. They are not throwing him the ball in the red zone.
Right.
It is a question asked to Freddie Kitchens. It is a question asked to the coaching staff. This week, especially, they've really been hammering it, and I think they're getting the pressure, and they are going to force it. I do. I think they're going to force it. Here's what I said on Show Up in the Bulldog. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to make a prediction, Jeremy. Ready? Here's the prediction. Either Odell Beckham is going to blow up on the Bills this week, or Odell Beckham is going to blow up on the Browns this week.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's one or the other. Either he's going to have a day, or this is going to finally come to a head, because right now it's behind the scenes. And I think it's going to be in the forefront if this continues to go this way for him in Cleveland.
803-0550. To Joe in Erie. Good morning, Joe. Happy Football Friday.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good, thanks.
A guy had called a couple calls ago, I think his name was Don, and he had mentioned about how he's upset that people are complaining about the 6-2. I'm just going to give my honest opinion of what I think about the schedule and the soft wins and stuff, and why. And I think it's more psychological than anything. And I think you may have even talked about that at one point this week. The 6-2 record, I'm very happy with it. But I want to see that, I think they used the word signature win. I really want to see that by the team as a whole. I have concerns because I look back at 2017. Buffalo is 5-2, and they dropped to 5-5, and then they eked in with Andy Dalton's throw. I look back at 2011. Buffalo's 5-2, and now all of a sudden they're 5-9. 2008, they're 5-1, then they're 6-9. So we've been burned several times, so it's in my psyche. And I want to see this team kick somebody's butt because I know what's coming up in December. And I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots and the Ravens and the Cowboys and even the Steelers. I'm looking at the Steelers and the Raiders, and those teams are on an uptick. And I think they stand a chance of taking over and knocking Buffalo out of their playoff chances in about 3-4 weeks.
Who's that, the Raiders?
Both of them.
The Steelers?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks, Joe. You bring up a key point. I think this is the key point, and Sal, you've talked about this as well. Everybody is looking for that signature win that would really put down any talk of you haven't beaten anybody. Winning in New England would do that. Beating Baltimore would probably do that. Beating Dallas. By the way, Dallas hasn't beaten anybody, and they hear the same criticisms. Beating Dallas would probably do that. The problem is you have to wait for this signature win until Thanksgiving because the way that things have fallen, you know, you just – everybody that the only chance you had at it was New England, and you lost. So I just think that you get to that. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm ready to see them go up against a heavyweight and prove that they are on the level with a heavyweight. The problem is there's no heavyweight on the schedule. This fight card has the Browns, the Dolphins, and the Broncos, who are all middleweights, maybe lower weights, you know. I would say the Browns and Broncos are middle, and the Dolphins are probably at the bottom. But they are playing better of late. Of course, they got their first win. So I'm with you. We're waiting to see them be tested. And in reality, what that kind of is playoffs, right? Hey, go 10-6, get to the playoffs. Then it becomes, how do you stack up against the good teams? And then we don't care how they win. That's a part of this too, right? When you get to the playoffs, we will not have this conversation. It won't be, well, they beat Houston on the road to go to the second round, but were you impressed? It won't be that. It's about trying to see how they stack up against the teams they might play mm-hmm. when they get to those spots. Tom and Akron before the break. Tom, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. 6-2 is a great thing. I'm in my 70s, and 6-2 hasn't been around very often lately. I'm wondering how many other teams in this league would love to be sitting at 6-2.
Well, 14 teams are 5-3 or better.
Yeah, well, that's still a whole lot. You know, 6-2, that's pretty.
Of course it is. Nobody's going to argue that. No yeah. one is going to tell you any different.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All Thanks. Right, thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, you have 14 teams that are within one game of them, which is just to say that, you know, you're halfway through the season. You're in a good spot. Could be worse. Could be a lot worse. Isn't.
Do I say the word yards wrong? You were different. Somebody tweeted me and said, I can't tell if I love or hate the way you say yards. You stretch it out. And I'm like, I think I just say it because I try to enunciate words sometimes. I'm
say
not
it
sure.
again.
Yards.
Yards.
I don't know. Is there a, he said,
Let's
I don't
break
know.
Out
I
some
don't,
analytics
I don't,
on this.
I don't know. Another tweet here. Dave. Dave says, oh, here we go on OBJ. The guy has never asked for a trade, never bashes QB, wants to win, kicked a field goal net. There's a false story that he's a bad teammate or always wants out. It's quite honestly BS.
I don't know if it's total BS. I do think he catches flack no matter
but
what.
But that's not what I said either.
I know.
He's been a good soldier in Cleveland.
You think
he's
going to blow up, yeah.
No, what I'm telling you is I think he's behind the scenes telling his agent, look, if this continues to go like the way it's going, like we got to do something about it. I think there. Look, again, let me tell you. I've done this long enough to understand how it works. There's a reason why certain stories are out there. There's a reason why certain people are writing certain things. And that is because they're getting signals and being told by people that this is what's happening. So that is why. It's not overt all the time for you to see. And I'm not blaming him for being a distraction. I'm telling you, he's not going to the team. He's not going to Baker Mayfield. What I'm telling you is he's gone to his agent and he's like, hey, man, like if this continues, like I don't know what we're going to do. And his agent's probably on the same page. That's why this is happening.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to your calls. It's Football Friday. Bills, Browns, Sunday. Yeah, let's do it. All right, back on the other side with more of your phone calls and more of Mr. Sal Capaccio.
Now, we got a lot of resilient guys. They're going to keep competing. You know, you may beat us, but we're going to be a hard out to get. You know, we're going to battle. And that's all I can say about this team. We are very happy with our foundation, our process. And a lot of guys deserve credit, but I'm exhausted. Two games in 4 days is something I hate.
John Gruden, who, you know, I think the Raiders have a little bit of a who's laughing now that they can kind of do, you know?
I thought they'd be pretty bad.
Yeah. A lot of people thought, myself included, probably they would be a joke. They'd be really bad. And they are totally competent. 5-4. They have a good offense. They made some bad trades, some weird draft picks, but like they're fine. Raiders win and beat the Chargers last night to move to 5-4. The Bills, of course, have the Browns on Sunday. With the Whiner line, do you got anything to whine about? Usually we whine about stuff at this point. Anything you're on to whine about?
Yeah, I'm going to whine about Terry McCauley right now.
Yeah, what happened?
Sunday Night Football rules. Terry McCauley, he is a former referee. He retired. And I'm okay, so here's the situation right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm literally having a back and forth with Terry McCauley on Twitter because I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong
here. I did not think we would get a Friday morning Twitter fight between you and a former NFL official.
It is not a Twitter fight, but I'm totally either. I have to. I'm told him. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just misinterpreting what you're saying maybe because I don't get this. Here we go. Terry McCauley writes, so there were four calls for offside lined up in the neutral zone in the first half last night. Then he says, I made that announcement exactly twice in 17 years as a referee. So I thought about that and said, that's almost impossible. So I tweeted him and said, you only called lining up in the neutral zone twice in 17 years? Am I misinterpreting that? It seems almost impossible. He tweeted back, as a referee, I only made the announcement. My crew only called it twice in 17 years. The line of scrimmage officials worked very hard with the defensive linemen to warn them when they got too close. All right.
Okay, so we're up to date.
I went back. The very last game he ever refereed, there were two calls in that game alone.
I'm going to say something here as a friend.
Okay.
You went back and got receipts on...
But I'm like, there's no way.
On Terry McCauley? No,
I'm like,
okay.
What is he talking about?
So
I wrote him. I said, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just wondering what I'm missing. Like, is it a technical term? Like, that's what I'm wondering. Seriously.
Okay.
Is there a technical term that he's referring to or the way in which they called it? Because I'm missing this. He was a ref for 17 years. He says he only called... lining up in the neutral zone twice in 17 years. I went to his page, his reference page. It was twice in one game in the very last game. And then I said, well, maybe it's the only two games in his career. And then it took me like three more games to go through and easily find where there was another one. I'm just, again, I'm just wondering what he means by that. There's got to be some sort of different way he's trying to explain it than what I'm coming up with here.
Basically, if you get blocked, you know that you got him.
No, I don't want to get blocked, and I'm not trying to. I'm trying to understand what he's saying.
Well, that's just the answer at that point. If you end up blocked by accident, then we have our answer. It's that he was wrong.
Okay. Yeah. He may say like, well, it seemed like two. Maybe it was five or six. Okay, that's fine. I can live with that. But
that in 17 years?
But in 17 years, still, that's amazing. Like if he even says that,
it would have been really amazing if he'd only done it twice in 17 years, and both times were in his last
right,
game.
That's right. That's what I'm
wondering. Say like, I just always wanted to do this. I'm calling it twice. You can't stop me. I'm retiring after today.
I know, right?
Illegal lineup in the neutral zone.
I'm really just trying. I literally wrote to him, like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just wondering what I'm missing here because it seems like this is not possible what you're saying.
I think you just go full from the top rope. Just
no,
come
on. I don't want to do that.
Give it to him.
803-0550.
He's got friends. I got to be down there, all right? I don't want to do that. I'm trying to understand what he's saying. By the way, I actually like Terry McCauley as a referee. I think he was a good referee when he was out there. Like when he did a game, I thought games had good flow, things like that. So I will be complimentary. I just am very much wondering what I'm missing about what he's saying.
Knee-jerk reaction. Real quick question. Real quick issue. Brad Ryder's coming in 9 o'clock.
Ooh.
Speaking of knee-jerk reactions,
yeah.
The segment we used to do. Deion Sanders, a candidate for the Florida State head coach job.
I am totally here for it. It would be a disaster, and I'd love it. All right, I got a response from Terry McCauley.
We're back, okay.
All right, you ready? Neutral zone infraction is a dead ball foul and is different than offside. Also, we had plenty of offside fouls when player jumped into the neutral zone. Original tweet was specific about lining up in the neutral zone. That is only noted in the referee announcement and not on the play-by-play. Thank you, Terry. I'm glad he explained this. I'm going to tell him, thank you very much for explaining that to me. I appreciate it.
All right.
That is a good Twitter back and forth, right?
Yeah.
That's the way Twitter's supposed to work.
Now, here's what you do. Right back to him, say, thanks, jerk. Delete your account and then sign, and then block him.
No, that was. I'm glad he explained it that way. By the way, Deion Sanders. I don't think there's any chance he gets that job, really. But if he did, oh my God, that would be amazing. Come on, what does Deion Sanders know about being a head football coach? He might be able to walk into a room and recruit kids, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. But you could just do that for Florida State without being the coach.
Yeah, usually, but they haven't had the greatest. Like they've been a little down in that area the last several years.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. He is a candidate for the Florida State job. Also, one more thing on the Raiders. So Cleveland Farrell, who they took fourth overall, right? That was their pick this year. They got laughed at for taking Cleveland Farrell. 2.5 sacks last night, and he looks good. Another example of looks like the Raiders are better than everyone seemed to think they were going to be. 803-0550. Back on the other. I'm sorry. Back on the other side. More of your phone calls. Buffalo Bills Football Friday. We will construct the game plan on how to beat the Browns next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.